The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. Week 16, almost in the books. My goodness, the NFL season coming to a close. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It'll be a super friends show as we recap Sunday's Week 16 action. Jason Garrett, Curb Your Enthusiasm on the bus, all that fun stuff. Real quickly, here's the plan for the week ahead. We will have our Packers and Vikings preview for Monday night with our pal Jared Dubin. Then we'll also talk to Jason Lockenfora. That podcast will be up on Monday afternoon. So, you know, if you're out at lunch, driving to go get your, maybe you left some Chick-fil-A in your fridge at home, you're going to reheat it for lunch, drive home and get it. You can listen to that podcast then. We will have a Monday night recap with the Super Friends. We'll also talk to Jonathan Jones, who is at Pats, Bills, and Eagles, Cowboys. So that'll be up on Christmas Eve. And then we have some pre-recorded stuff for you over the holidays because we also want to see our families. And, I believe we have one, two, three, four. Yeah, four. Denominationally, it didn't work out very well for us to skip, Christmas. So we will have a holiday mailbag. It's 90 minutes, a 90-minute holiday mailbag that will be released on Christmas Day. If you're traveling, get ready to download that. It'll be awesome. It is high comedy. It's a Super Friends show. Thursday, the day after Christmas, will be a specialty Hall of Fame debate podcast with myself, Ryan Wilson, and Sean Wagner, McGuff. And then Friday, we will have our normal picks episode. Reminder, you can go to youtube.com/CBS Sports and check out our Week 17 look-ahead lines. We've been actually kind of hot on those. Like, we've been giving a lot of good CLV, if you will, Ryan Wilson. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, Cleveland.
Cleveland. Do you know what CLV means? Does anybody know what CLV means?
Cover the line.
No, Sean. Reach, got a guess?
Reach is good. I do not have a guess, Brinson. I just want everyone to know that I'm not in the Hall of Fame podcast because you guys kicked me off because I kept naming Bengals players.
That you were coming back from Vegas celebrating your sister's birthday.
He tried to get on drunk and he came on, Ken Anderson! Ken Anderson!
Boomer Esiason! Jim Breach.
How would you rank your favorite? I would say Boomer is my number one favorite Bengal. Jim Breach probably two. I mean, Jim Breach is my favorite Breach, but he's not my favorite Bengal. You know what I mean?
I would say Ken Anderson was my favorite growing up. I've told Jim and John Breach that I was a huge Bengals fan in the early 80s because they only showed very few national televised games in Jacksonville, North Carolina. I like Jim Breach. I knew who he was because I played soccer and I used to like to kick. And later on, and I can't believe you didn't mention this, Icky Woods.
I'm really more of a Greg Cook guy myself.
You just looked that up, but he didn't play very long. Nice try.
Played 1 year.
I don't think I have a favorite Bengal. We'll be talking about the Bengals the whole lead up to the NFL draft, and I know that no one listening wants to hear us talk about the Bengals. So I am going to let us skip forward. I won't even keep you on the Bengals.
I don't even know who my favorite Bengal would be.
What does CLV stand for? You just said it was
closing line value.
Boom. All right. What happened?
So the line opens on Sunday, and then, you know, by the time the closing line is the last line is when the game starts, the game kicks off, you always want to get the best of the line. So, like, you know, we said get the Redskins plus 11. You'd much rather have the Redskins plus 11 than the Redskins plus 9.5. You know what I mean?
I got you now.
If you're going to set your money on fire, you better be smart about it.
I've known you for 12 years, and I finally learned something from you. Thank you.
That's pretty good. Speaking of 12 years, that's roughly how long Jason Garrett's been employed by the Cowboys, and it might only be about 10 days more, maybe less. The Cowboys lost to the Eagles. Debo, go ahead and turn that mic on. How you feeling, buddy? Cowboys lose to the Eagles by a score of 17-9, a real barn burner in Philadelphia. Dallas no-showed it. What's you knew it was going to happen. We talked about it, right? You thought Carson, the boys, were going to go or take a stand and just win, right? How you feeling?
Fully confident. I feel fantastic. Normally, I'm pretty even keel. I'm pretty low key. But to beat Dallas, I realize it's 8-7. But to beat Dallas in this fashion feels awesome.
A rousing speech from Debo.
But Debo, how confident are you that they beat the Giants next week?
Insanely confident. They will beat the Giants by three touchdowns.
He just dunked on you, Sean. He kept talking smack about how the Giants are going to win that game.
They're now Ryan's Eagles too, apparently.
That's right. Check out the live YouTube picks show where I'm now on the Eagles bandwagon. Fun fact, Brent, when the Eagles and Steelers joined forces, I think in the 30s, they were called the Steagles. So there you go.
And that's Ryan's new
nickname.
What
are you talking about?
Well, Ryan would know. He was like 15 around that time, so.
What?
Is that
real?
1933.
That was not in the spirit of Christmas, Sean, taking a shot at Ryan like that.
Thank you, John.
Jerk, man. I'm trying to look and see. I know I had the Eagles as one of my best bets. I had the Bengals, too, and the Chargers. Lame. Oh, my God.
Chargers?
Yeah, I thought the Raiders were going to be – I thought the Raiders would have a difficult time bouncing back from that heartbreaking thing. Anyway, Eagles were one of my –
I looked it up quickly. 1943, during the war, the Steelers and the Pittsburgh and the Eagles joined forces. For the Steagles, the teams were forced to merge because both had lost many players to military service during World War II. So I'm not lying.
So they actually call themselves the Steagles. That's kind of hilarious. You know what?
Nope, it's also hilarious that Ryan
referred to the Kegels, but I don't think that's appropriate for the podcast.
Ryan referred to the war like he was alive for it, like Sean just said.
You're just sticking up for me.
Now you're just burying yourself.
All right, let's go.
War.
All right, so what do we think? There's a bunch of clips. And by the way, hilarious scene. Breach, tell us what happened after the game to the Cowboys. Look, the Cowboys were pathetic. They couldn't move the ball. They couldn't throw downfield. They ran an option play. I swear to God, you pick five of the biggest moments in the Cowboys season, and they ran a damn option play. And running the option. You got Zeke Elliott. You got Dak Prescott, you got Michael Gallup, you got Amari Cooper. You put Amari on the bench, you're running an option play. It's pathetic. What happened to him after the game, Breach?
And then after the game, and what perfectly epitomized the whole entire day for the Cowboys, their offense couldn't move the ball because it malfunctioned. Well, guess what else malfunctioned? Their plane, their charter flight home. They couldn't get back to Dallas. They took their showers. They got on their team buses to go to the airport. They get the phone call that, hey, your chartered flight can't take off because it's having mechanical issues. So what do? They sit on their bus at the stadium for 3 hours. I'm sure you guys have been there where you stuck on a bus for 3 hours. This is just like the nightmare night that won't end for the Cowboys. There are multiple reports out there. One of them saying that the Cowboys are going to have to bring in a smaller plane and leave part of their traveling party in Philadelphia to take a later flight. Imagine being stuck there. And so this team, the game ended about 7:15 Eastern time. They finally got on the plane around 11 p.m. Eastern time. They're not going to be back to Dallas till about 2:30 Central. I hope – that would have been the perfect time for Jerry Jones to fire Jason Garrett, that three extra hours, but it didn't happen.
You know what else Jason Garrett could have done? Could have taken an Uber.
Jason Garrett had to go take an Uber home. See, all y'all talking that stuff. Everybody over there. Let's go.
That's Brandon Graham yelling about Jason Garrett taking an Uber. I actually don't know if he meant that about the plane situation or just about Jason Garrett's got to take an Uber home because he lost the game and the Cowboys. I got to tell you, though.
You glossed over the most important thing to happen in 4 months of us covering football. You actually played a clip that fit, made sense, and we could hear it.
And it was good.
You ruined it.
It was great.
You ruined it. And you ruined the seamless transition, damn it.
We had to acknowledge it. You did a great job.
Thank you. The I finally realized I could just play him in Slack instead of downloading him and opening him up in QuickTime. It only takes 16 weeks, baby. The Cowboys thing with the plane is a perfect metaphor for their season. This high-priced, magnificent piece of well-built technology, you know, money pumped into it. You've designed this thing. It's going to be a sleek flying machine. It's going to cruise at high speed. It's going to dominate the skies. And then it doesn't work because the guy you put in charge of flying it is an incompetent moron who can't even get the freaking thing off the ground. That's a Cowboys season in a nutshell. Jason Garrett and Dez Bryant called him out for this when he quote tweeted somebody. Like, when you start to think about how he's the number of primes he's wasted, it's crazy. He's wasted Tony Romo's prime. I don't know if he's wasted Jason Witten's prime, DeMarco Murray's prime, Ezekiel Elliott's prime, Tyron Smith's prime, Zach Martin's prime, Dez Bryant's prime, Amari Cooper's prime. All of these great players that he's had on this fundamentally idiotic team that never overachieves, ever. It's unbelievable.
Ed Werder tweeted this out at 9:22 on Sunday. So the Cowboys are sitting on the runway at that point, too, I would imagine. Here's what Werder tweeted. Amari Cooper seemed to question the coaching staff for his ineffectiveness. When I asked his explanation, Cooper talked about all the short routes he ran and then said, quote, "I feel like the go ball was a good route to run tonight, and we didn't really get to it," end quote.
Amari Cooper was targeted 12 times. Talk about inefficient. 12 targets. He got 4 passes for 24 yards, so he's averaging 2 yards per target in this game.
And even Derek Carr thinks that's terrible.
And there's a lot of – look, I think obviously the Cowboys' offensive performance probably sticks out the most because we always talk every single week about how this Eagles' secondary is so susceptible and teams should be able to pick them apart. And I thought Dak really did not look like himself. And obviously there was that shoulder injury that was reported all week, and it certainly looked like his shoulder was bothering him. But I thought what was really disappointing to me was even their defensive effort. And I know that they only give up 17 points, and it's tough to blame the defense when you give up less than 20 in a game. But the Cowboys had to know coming into this game that the Eagles have no healthy wide receivers and that they got to shut down the tight ends and the running backs. And you then look, the entire Eagles offensive approach was short, quick passes to the tight ends and to the running backs. Dallas Goedert had 9 catches for 91 yards and Sanders had 5 catches for 77 yards. And the Cowboys just had no answer for that. And you had to know that is how they were going to attack it. And the Cowboys defense flies under the radar because we always talk about the offense and the play calling. This defense was supposed to be a top 10, top 5 unit potentially, and they have not played anything close to that.
I mean, look, I said on the Picks podcast before in any radio hit or whatever, and I wrote it down. It's like the Cowboys have a bunch of injured linebackers. The Eagles are obviously going to attack with their tight ends underneath and with their running backs in the passing game. And like, I don't know if I know that. Maybe the Cowboys should know that. It's pretty crazy. It was what was weird is like every pass it felt like that Carson Wentz made was Dallas Goedert running like a 3-step route and then just turning around and like catching a really short pass. Like, anytime they wanted it, it was there. They didn't have to stretch the field or anything. I mean, their top receiver was Greg Ward, 5 targets, 4 catches, 71 yards, and then J.J. Arcega Whiteside. I love how Joe Buck pronounces it, by the way. He's like, J.J. Arcega Whiteside. He had 2 catches on 2 targets for 39 yards. Zach Ertz, 6 targets, 4 catches, 28 yards. He got hurt and left the game for a little while. I mean, the Cowboys just had it was crazy, man. They had nothing on defense and nothing on offense. Zeke ran 13 times for 47 yards. Dak, I think you're right, Sean, that clearly his shoulder was bothering him. He just wasn't right. And it just, you could tell from the get-go that the Eagles were going to win this game. Like, it never felt like the Cowboys, I mean, even when they got within 8 late in the game, it never felt like they were going to muster anything of substance to try and win the game.
And it's where the Cowboys go through these phases where this game, for me, it felt like their offense. I didn't think they were going to be able to score any points after about 2 possessions, so it felt like if the Eagles got the 17, they were going to win. And I don't know how the Cowboys always go through phases like this. Because, look, we watched them put up 44 points on the Rams last week, and not that things translate from week to week, but I don't think anyone in the world thought the Cowboys were going to be held to single-digit points this week. Even if Cooper Rush was out there, I thought they would have scored at least 2 touchdowns if Dak Prescott's shoulder was bad. But it's been happening all season. They scored single digits against the Patriots. They only scored 10 points against the Saints. So they just go out there and they lay these eggs. And usually it's against a good team. I don't know where the Eagles fall in that spectrum of good teams. I don't want to offend Debo. I don't think they're a great team, but we could say they're
the worst playoff team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily. Even if the Raiders sneak into the playoffs, the Eagles are still the worst playoff team.
Now you're insulting Debo.
So it's just amazing how this offense disappears. Even if the Cowboys make the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl, which, you know, very, very long shot, 1% stuff, there is no way. I don't know how you can justify keeping this coaching staff around. They just, every week, I feel like we have the same conversation about how the Cowboys got outcoached. They didn't know what they were doing. And we have Brinson here, of all people, who knew exactly what the Eagles were going to do. He could have been the Cowboys' defensive coordinator. The final score of this game might have been 9-6 Dallas. So it's just unbelievable that they get just out-thunk every week.
It is wild that we're not even, like, I know on the rundown, Debo was like, how long does Jason Garrett have? I mean, it is simply a matter of
what day you're listening to the podcast.
I would be very surprised. We talked about this a little bit before the show, but I don't think he'll be fired on Monday, Sunday night, unless
they can still get in. And his whole thing has been, I think we can make a run if we get in. So I just don't think it makes sense to make a change as long as they have a shot to make.
I would agree. It doesn't make any sense to fire Jason Garrett after that game. Like, at least give him the last week.
Well, and just let me say that his contract expires, so there won't be a firing. And so I don't think it will happen even within the 24 hours after the last game. I think there'll be a lot of, Jerry's talking about it. Even if they plan to get rid of him, I think we'll see a few days before they have an announcement that says, hey, Jason Garrett's not coming back. I don't think it's something that's going to happen in the hours after that final game against the Redskins.
Well, all right, so just so people are clear, if the Eagles beat the Giants in Week 17 and the Eagles are 5-point favorites in New York, the Eagles win the division, they go to the playoffs, and the Cowboys are eliminated. If the Eagles lose to the Giants and the Cowboys beat the Redskins as 10-point favorites, the Cowboys win the division. And if they both lose, the Eagles also win the division at 8-8, which is really the best-case scenario for everybody except for Debo, because then he has to live through the sweat of a 4-hour, debacle against the – like watching the Cowboys try to lose the Redskins. The whole thing could be magnificent. That's an interesting point, Breach. I actually think if they lose to the Redskins and the Eagles lose, then I would almost guarantee that we get a release, like maybe like a fiery release from Jerry Jones that night or maybe the next morning. I think either way, they're going to be like, we've decided not to renew Jason Garrett's contract. They'll do him a solid. They're not going to like.
Because he needs time, because he's going to want to be going for openings on other people's staff. So, like, he's going to want it.
That's my next question.
The Giants were reported about maybe wanting to bring him in. So, like,
that was Jason Garrett's agent.
The NFL just recycles coaches all the time. Like, he'll be an assistant somewhere, I would bet.
For sure. 100%. Yeah. Look, I've been saying this a lot the last few days. I really think this is true. I think what you're going to see in this head coaching cycle, because of sort of, I don't want to call it the failure of the McVay tree, but like Matt LaFleur's got the Packers at 11-3, but no one's like, oh, his offense is just, reinvigorating Aaron Rodgers. Zach Taylor, we see what's happening in Cincinnati. It's a disaster. Sean McVay missing the playoffs. I think you're going to see people sort of, it's the ex-girlfriend theory. They're going to go back towards like
McCarthy,
the stable,
what they know.
McCarthy, Rivera, Jim Caldwell was mentioned by JLC this morning. That's Ryan's boy. Maybe the Lions will rehire Jim Caldwell. I think I would not be surprised at all if Jason Garrett was a head coach in the NFL next year.
I would be. First, let me – couple things.
Before you answer, would you take him or Freddie Outhouse?
Stop it. Come on.
No, dead serious.
I'd take a monkey dressed up as Freddie Outhouse before I took the actual Freddie Outhouse. I'm not taking – why would I take Freddie Kitchens?
Right. So, but I was saying like – like if you're the Browns, you're like, you know what?
He's not getting fired.
I wouldn't. We'll get to that in a second. But I'm just
saying. Let me tell you this. So Stephen O, our guy at Sportsline, you talked about the chances of the Eagles winning and the Giants winning. He has the chance of Dallas winning and Philly losing in Week 17, 24.5%. So 75.5% chance that the Eagles are winning the division. You gonna say something?
Me? Oh, I was muting it so I could sniffle very loud.
Oh, sorry. All right. So
I would say, though, that if the Eagles lose to the Giants, then Doug Peterson should be fired, too.
Stop it. That's crazy talk.
Who are you hiring?
His fans hate him.
Hiring Jason Garrett, then?
He's like, both Jason, fired. Obviously. So, listen, there's also a chance there's only, like, five openings, too. So, if there are only five openings, what?
Maybe. We'll get to those. Keep on.
So, okay. So, Carolina has an opening.
We're going to talk about every single team in the NFL.
Oh, okay. So I won't get into that. But, I don't think Jason Garrett – I don't think Jason Garrett's getting a job is what I was going to get to. We can talk about that later then. Fair enough.
I just think that if there are six or seven openings and you got one McCarthy, one Rivera, if Josh McDaniels takes one, that's a different story. But, like, there's not a ton of, like – I mean, Kevin Stefanski?
Stefanski, Robert Saleh.
Eric
Bieniemy has been mentioned. That's right.
Bill's offensive coordinator. Why am I?
Brian Daboll. Greg Roman.
Yeah.
Wink Martindale. I mean, there's some guys.
I mean, yes, there are human beings who could be head coaches.
Who are much more qualified based on what they've done recently than Jason Garrett's qualifications, or at least productivity.
Dude, John Fox got back, like, immediately got head coaching jobs after getting fired.
This is why I think it might take a year off. Like, McCarthy, you forget how toxic that – like, it was so toxic that the Packers actually fired him in December when they very well could have – he won a Super Bowl with them. Give him the end of the year. Don't fire him in the middle of the year. But he was so toxic at that point, like, his reputation. And now he's certainly going to get a head coaching job, it feels like.
It is not certain.
If he wants one, he'll get one. Although, I mean,
that is not a certainty.
He is doing that. Like, you know, he had like Tom Pelissero up to his house. Like, hey, Tom, yeah, just hanging out, real relaxed. Mike McCarthy here, enjoying time off with the family. You know, doing coaching stuff. Just sitting here with Joe Philbin, looking over some film. Good stuff. I mean, like, everybody, like, McCarthy's a good dude, and he's a nice guy.
Did you see the video ended though?
He was crying.
My family needs football. They need me to coach. That's how it ended.
Well, and it's funny because
out of the house.
I feel like all these coaches are coming out of the woodwork to make sure general managers and the decision makers know they're out there. You know, we saw Jeff Fisher. He's tweeting out videos of him beating his dogs, just saying, hey, look, guys, I'm here. I don't want to be feeding my dogs. I would rather be coaching, and you can hire me. And that's what the Mike McCarthy thing kind of felt like.
I'm willing to run the wishbone formation.
these guys are not certainties, so I don't know where that's coming from.
None of us think either of these two teams, whoever gets in, will win a playoff game, right?
That's what I was going to ask. I think – so if the Eagles – let's say the Eagles are the four seed. Whoever gets in has to be the four seed. They can't be anything else, which means that they will play the fifth seed. That could be a team – that could be – it'll either be one of three teams, the Vikings – the Seahawks or the 49ers. If you do the Vegas math, it will ultimately be the Seahawks. Like, that's what the Vegas math sort of tells you is how that scenario will play out. The Seahawks will be the fifth seed. I would not want to bet on the Seahawks now. And I actually think the Eagles now might be favored over the Seahawks if the Seahawks were the five seed and the Eagles were, it was in Philadelphia. Earlier this afternoon, I was talking with some people about this, and I said for certain the Seahawks would be favored, but they just lost Chris Carson and Dwayne Brown for the season. They're basically relying on Russell Wilson to figure everything out, and the offense looks discombobulated. I think
Jadeveon Clowney, Quandre Diggs, and Shaquille Griffin didn't even play against the Cardinals, and they could all be missing on Sunday. They could be missing in the playoffs. I mean, it's not just their offensive guys, it's defensive guys.
That could be MIA forever, John. But I'm in that scenario, I would take the Eagles. And also, I say it all the time, Doug Peterson versus Pete Carroll or Brian Schottenheimer. Who are you taking?
Well, I mean, I'd take Pete Carroll, but
I wouldn't.
I will actually go even further. Not only would I take the Eagles over the Seahawks in the first round, so the Eagles get the divisional round. If the Packers end up with the second seed, the Eagles already beat them once this season. So if their route somehow goes Seahawks and then to Green Bay, I could see them beating Green Bay.
Look at Devo Grennan.
Sneaking their way. I mean, that's the path they would have to take, because I don't think they can beat the Vikings, the 49ers, or the Saints, but there is a path to the NFC title game, and it is realistic. They could face the Seahawks in the first round. That's likely. And then getting to Green Bay, but Green Bay would have to get the two seed.
Yeah, I agree with Breach. It's not that crazy. And by the way, let's point out, Miles Sanders is playing his tail off the last 2 weeks. That dude is, like, he's not, I don't want to say he's better. He's not better than Saquon Barkley, but, like, you could have gotten him. I mean, I would rather have, I would rather have Miles Sanders with the pick the Eagles used on Miles Sanders than Saquon Barkley with the pick the Giants used on
One
Saquon.
One person on planet Earth disagrees with you. His name is Dave Gettleman.
I feel like Giants fans might lash a bit about that.
Giants fans 100% would. Yeah. Anytime Sam Darnold has a bad game, they tweet at people. Yeah.
Do we feel good about Carson Wentz as a playoff quarterback? Have we ever seen Carson Wentz in the playoffs?
He got hurt in December 17, so he didn't play.
Has he ever played a playoff game?
No.
No.
That is crazy. That's wild. The Eagles have like won a Super Bowl, like been to the playoffs multiple times since he got drafted.
They've played what, 5 playoff games, I think.
Yeah.
In the last two, like going back 3 years ago. So yeah.
Would you rather? What do you think, Sean? Wentz, playoff quarterback, playoff winning quarterback?
I mean, any other year except this year. Like I have not been impressed with him this year. I wasn't even that impressed with him on Sunday, but I mean, sure. It's not like a ringing endorsement, but he's not bad. He's peak, he's a really good quarterback.
Have you seen his receiving corps?
Exactly.
Like, how good could he be if he had healthy players?
Sure, but that's the group he's going to be working with in this postseason. So I'm not confident in the Eagles' offense heading into the end of January.
Yeah, but you hit the Eagles. He made that clear.
Huh? I picked the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Also,
you can mute him.
Let's point out. Breach tried to like prop himself up in Debo's eyes for some weird reason. He's like, I picked the Eagles to win the division, but then Breach picked the Cowboys to win today. You're a flip-flopping two-faced fraud.
I picked the Eagles to win the division. I'm going to stick by my pick. Brinson, you picked the Cowboys. I picked the Eagles. That's what it comes down to.
But you picked the Cowboys to win today. Why would you back your division pick?
He's playing both sides.
I didn't remember what my division pick was. I went back and looked at it after I made my pick. Should have looked at it before.
Hashtag breach fraud.
Yeah, also fraudulent, all you clowns. I love that Breach is picking the Eagles now to beat the Seahawks when just yesterday, as I pointed out on the YouTube show, you guys are all up in the Seahawks business over the 49ers. Seahawks couldn't even beat the freaking Cardinals.
Breach's argument is Seahawks in Seattle.
You think Breach said something about the Seahawks yesterday?
I was quiet because I knew you were playing a clip, and then you over there goofing around. Let us know when you got it.
Unbelievable. So annoying.
You need an on-site producer.
Well, I mean, like it worked before.
And also, the Seahawks are dealing with a lot of injuries that we didn't know about. And if you listen to the YouTube show,
knew about them.
Are you a doctor? Are you friends with the Seahawks team, Doctor? I think the Seahawks do just because it's in Seattle, and the 49ers have looked so bad lately. I have no faith in them to go into one of the most hostile environments in the entire NFL. I mean, we saw Jimmy Garoppolo at home look like trash for 3 quarters before he finally got together for the final 2 possessions. He does that against the Seahawks. He's going to be down 34-7.
There it is. Cherry pick.
Now, can you play my clip from tonight after learning of Chris Carson being out, Dwayne Brown being out, after taking into account all the injuries?
Unfortunately, we're out of time for this particular segment. We're going to have to move on.
Survival of the fittest. It's Darwin.
AFC wild card, Breach. I am going to give you a chance to talk about the AFC wild card, though. Your Titans fell to the mighty Saints, 38-28. The Saints covered the -3. The over of 49 hit very easily. In fact, and this is a really close and interesting game until a late non-call of a helmet-to-helmet hit or a targeting defenseless player caused a fumble by the Titans as they were driving down to tie, take the lead, and the Saints got it back and went down and scored. Michael Thomas called a touchdown, 12 catches, 136 yards and a touchdown. I was going to parlay. I was going to do this like thing where it's like if Michael Thomas gets at least 111 catches, you get X number of odds. But I looked it up, it was 4-1, which is not very good for 11 catches. And he easily had 11 catches. He finished with 12. Monster season. Broke Marvin Harrison's single season record of 143 set in 2002. He now has 145 this year. Breeze is 27-38, 279 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. This Saints team is coming on like gangbusters. But Breach, I think it's more interesting that the Titans now have with their loss and the Steelers loss to the Jets and the Raiders win over the Chargers have created this wild card scenario. Can you fill us in on the details, Mr. Playoff Board, Charlie Day, crazy man person?
man, I spent so much time on this playoff board this week. So you have the Titans. They have the easiest scenario. We have the Titans.
Hey, but before you like were explaining this like really quickly and clairvoyantly, do you have like a board or did you just all write it down on notepad paper?
I wrote everything down on a notepad paper. It has like spider web pin things, connecting things. If this really? Happens, then this happens. And then I type it up and then I copy and paste it and put it anywhere I need to put it or give it to you or whoever needs it. So we have three teams that are eligible for the sixth spot: Titans, Steelers, Raiders. Titans have the easiest route. All they have to do is beat the Texans on Sunday. They are in the playoffs. No questions asked. It does not matter what happens in any other game. Now, if the Titans lose and they finish 8-8 and the Steelers win, then we have the Steelers in the playoffs because the Steelers will be 9-7 and the Steelers are playing the Ravens. Ravens might be resting their starters. So that one's easy. Now it gets a little more complicated because you're probably wondering how the heck do the 7-8 Raiders get to the playoffs when we have 2 8-7 teams and the Raiders need some help from the Colts who are not playoff eligible. They are eliminated. So if the Titans and Steelers both lose, they go 8-8. The Raiders have to win. They go 8-8 and then the Colts have to win to go 8-8. And what happens there is that the Colts and the Titans have their own tiebreaker because they're in the same division. So then that case, the Titans are out because the Colts have a better division record. You're down to three teams, the Steelers, Raiders, and Colts. The Colts in that case would be eliminated because they lost to both the Raiders and Steelers. Then we're down to the Raiders and the Steelers, and the Raiders get in on a strength of victory tiebreaker, which I believe is the fifth tiebreaker. So that is how the Raiders get in. And then I guess the weird thing would be if just the Steelers and the Titans tie at 8-8. And in that case, I believe the Titans would also get in.
The Raiders, by the way, are four-point dogs at the Broncos. The Titans are five-point favorites at the Texans. The Colts are four-point favorites at the Jaguars. And the Steelers and Ravens do not have a lineup yet because I think they want to be careful and not post one and have Lamar Jackson actually play or, you know, something, you know, they don't want to make the Ravens five-point favorites and then RG3 plays and people hammer the Steelers and make a bunch of money. But John Harbaugh has previously indicated that he's not going to play his starters. So if you think about it, like I think the rough math on this is, and the money lines aren't released or anything, but I think the rough math is something in the range of a 20-1 parlay for the Raiders to make the playoffs, which considering that they're 7-8 and they needed another 20-1 parlay to hit on this Sunday, they had to hit back-to-back parlays, basically run a 10-game parlay or maybe 9-game parlay, I guess it would end up being. That's pretty incredible.
And here's your fun parlay fact real quick. So the Raiders needed five things to happen in week 16 to stay in the race. Raiders beat the Chargers, Ravens beat the Browns, Jets beat the Steelers, Saints beat the Titans, Colts beat the Panthers. If you had bet $100 just on the money lines and parlayed that, it would have paid off $2,700. So 27-1, yeah. And it would have hit.
So if you add in like four more games, it's basically, I mean, you're talking about like a 250, 300-1 parlay.
Let's see, coming into today, according to Stephen O, Sportsline, our guy, Raiders were 5,000-1. A 1 in 5,000 chance, according to simulations, and now it's 5%, so that's 20-1.
Oh, look at me. Look at the big brain on Brinson. That's cool. So anyway, back to this game. I would say, just to touch on the Saints really quickly, well, actually, we can go to the Titans first. No Derrick Henry in this game. They held him out. I want to say it's kind of precautionary. They understand. What's that?
It's a hamstring, so I don't
know.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, they said, I think they said he could have gone if this had been week 17. They knew that if they won at the Texans next week, they would be in no matter what. And so they felt it would behoove them to hold him out for this game. He didn't play. AJ Brown, no catches, but did have a one long touchdown run. Ryan Tannehill, I thought looked okay. I mean, people were calling this like the Ryan Tannehill regression.
He got sacked a ton though. That was an issue. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, like, not having Derrick Henry to lean on sort of seemed to mitigate what he could do. 17-27. He still had 272 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tajay Sharp, 5 catches, 69 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jonnu Smith coming on like gangbusters. Add him in Dynasty if he's out there for some reason. Jared Cook for the Saints, 3 catches, 84 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I think it is, and between the three teams in the AFC playoff race, it is a no-brainer. If you're the Chiefs, Chiefs, you want, well, what order do you want them in, Sean? You're muted.
Way to go, Wilson.
You know why I muted myself? Because I felt a sneeze coming and it never came. It's the Raiders.
Story of Sean's life.
So Raiders, then Steelers, then Titans?
Yes. I mean, the Titans already beat them once this year, and yes, it involved a crazy, like, weird ending, wild ending with Tannehill escaping this miraculous run at the end. But yeah, you don't want to play the Titans because the Titans clearly have the best quarterback of that bunch. Like, the Steelers, I think, would be difficult because of that defense. Like, you could see them keeping it interesting. But at the end of the day, you're not having Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph's healthy keeping pace with the Mahomes. No. You definitely want the Raiders, though, because A, they smoke the Raiders all the time. B, Derek Carr statistically is terrible in cold weather games, which I think is going to be a problem for them to hit this parlay. They have to win in Denver, so let's look at the weather. And C,
spoiler alert, it's December in Denver. It's
yes. Like 40 degrees. C, he is just really bad at Arrowhead in general. So I think the Chiefs are their weight. Like, please let that parlay hit. Let's get the Raiders for a third time. So we'll beat them by 40 points.
By the way, we're all up on the Raiders. The chance they hit this parlay. Drew Lock is playing really well too. So, I mean, that plus the weather, plus playing in Denver, plus Derek Carr being Derek Carr, loving to throw the ball away on fourth down. I mean, there are a lot of things stacked against the Raiders to pull this off.
And plus, week 17 has become the annual Raiders meltdown game. They have lost 8 week 17 games in a row, and usually it is not close. That is a fun fact. Last year they lost 35-3. The year before that, 30-10. The year before that, 24-6. The streak started with a 38-26 loss. This team just mails it in week 17 and wants to collect their paychecks and go home.
By the way, it occurred to me, and we'll get to the Seahawks in a minute, but it occurred to me that I have multiple losing divisional bets outstanding. They're all going to – so, like, you know, they all –
who are your bets?
Well, I had the Colts and the Panthers and the Steelers all lost. I mean, they all lost their quarterback. Like, I'm not going to, you know.
I thought you were going to say you bet the Broncos because that would have been believable.
Yeah. But those are all going to cash. They're going to all process on Sunday night around midnight, which is unfortunate because if you're down big money, you got to pay out on Monday. But I also have a Seahawks bet that would eradicate all of those. So I'm in a weird spot with the Seahawks thing. The Saints, they can – what, Breach, what are their scenarios? I wrote them down. I'll can look at them in a second. But what are – they are – if they win out, are they the one seed? No. They can be – they're the two seed if the 49ers win out. They can get the one seed. They're pulling for the Seahawks, and they're pulling for the Vikings. Because if the Vikings beat the Packers, and the Seahawks beat the 49ers, and the Saints beat the – Panthers in week 17, then the Saints will get home field advantage and a bye, home field advantage throughout and get the number one seed. So that's who the Saints are rooting for. And frankly, if the Saints get home field advantage in the NFC, I think that is a massive, massive leg up on the rest of the division. Drew Brees is playing really well right now. He looks like he's got, I don't know, 6 weeks less like throwing wear and tear on his arm than he has in years past. He doesn't look like the typical late season Drew Brees that he has in years before. That defense lost Sheldon Rankins. It lost Marcus Davenport, but they're still playing really well. They're flying all over the place. Cam Jordan, piling up sacks, and Michael Thomas is unstoppable. And Alvin Kamara, for the first time since his ankle injury, looked explosive again on Sunday afternoon against Tennessee. So I would, if I were the rest of the NFC, I would not want the Saints to capture that number one seed.
What about the Packers getting number one seed? I mean, everybody has to go to Lambeau. It could be like 10 degrees there.
You just said the Eagles would beat the Packers.
Well, right. I do think that the Eagles could beat the Packers, But I'm saying that the only way the Packers are going to survive is if they have home field and people have to go to Lambeau. Well,
the main reason I was talking about the Saints is that we were just talking about the Saints-Titans game, and then we're going to move on to the next game. But if you want to talk about the Packers,
by I don't. Unless Sean does.
I wrote about this in my quarterback power rankings. Like, a year ago, the complete reverse was happening. Right now, after Thanksgiving, Breeze's deep ball plummeted, and they were completely fading. And it never felt like they were – like, they weren't peaking come January. And the scary thing is, despite that, they were a blatant missed pass interference penalty away from going to the Super Bowl, despite Breeze not playing that well. The complete opposite is happening this year, and I actually think you're right, that thumb injury might have actually helped in the long term. I mean, also, obviously, they went undefeated with Teddy Bridgewater. But I think it might have helped Breeze not necessarily stay healthy, but just avoid hits and be a little bit more fresh. And, you know, he's 30 – is he 39 or 40? 39, I think, right? So 40?
He's 42.
He's not 40. He's not 42.
He's not even 40. I'm just kidding.
So, like, I think that's so important that you have a 40-year-old quarterback who got to skip six games, and the injury was a thumb injury that's not affecting him anymore. So I would be terrified of the Saints if I was the rest of the playoff field.
Yeah, that was the big thing everybody was talking about last year, was just the regression. Was Drew Brees regressing at the end of the season because he was old or because of some other reason? And that absolutely hasn't been happening. So, yeah. I mean, the Saints feel like the best team in the AFC, maybe? I mean, do they look like the most complete team in the NFC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We mentioned the Titans in the AFC playoff race. The Jets and the Steelers and the Chargers and the Raiders played a games of football. Jets and the Steelers game, that game went way under. 37 was the total, and it was never close. Ryan, do you even really – I mean, I don't mean this flippantly at all. Like, I mean this seriously. Do you even want the Steelers to make the playoffs?
I don't care, honestly. I mean, this has been, like, sort of fun to watch, primarily because I get to watch T.J. Watt sort of dominate.
Yeah.
No one will watch this game among the four of us except me. But the highlight for me was a strip sack by T.J. Watt where he stripped the ball, obviously, from – Sam Darnold, but in the process of punching the ball out, he actually punched Sam Darnold in the nuts. And intentionally, I would imagine. But it was sort of like felt like a microcosm of Sam Darnold's season, starting with the when he was sidelined with the kissing disease there.
Probably got mono, probably got something.
Yeah. And also it was sort of microcosm of the Steelers season where it starts and ends with the defense having to create turnovers and creating short fields and praying to God that they can somehow score points. I think the sort of the secret MVP in this season for the Steelers is Chris Boswell, the kicker, who almost got cut last year. He was so terrible. But he's been money. And look, they're not scoring points with Duck Hodges and or Mason Rudolph. It's just not going to happen. And James Conner was hurt again today, so he's been unhealthy for much of the season. And we know about Juju Smith-Schuster. He came back. He dropped a ball on fourth down that actually could have made the game close at the very end there. So a bunch of things happen. I mean, that is Pro Bowl, yes. It is a practice squad offense. And for them to have eight wins is mind-blowing. And so, yeah, there are zero expectations. Like when Duck Hodges and or Mason Rudolph throws an interception, I don't get angry. It's just like, meh, you knew that was going to happen. But I've enjoyed the season probably more than other seasons because of the expectations. But they don't deserve to go to the playoffs, if we're being honest. And I think the Titans have shown the ability to play well in big games and over the last month or so, and they seem much more like a playoff team, if we're being honest.
Ryan, let me ask you this. If the Steelers did sneak in, they grabbed the sixth seed, who would you rather play and feel more comfortable that they could maybe beat in the wild card round at the three seed, the Chiefs or the Patriots?
The thing is, if they were playing the Patriots at Heinz Field, I would feel better about that. They seem to be unable to win in Gillette Stadium no matter what. That said, I mean, they're not beating the Patriots, not with Duck Hodges. I mean, because
they're not beating the Chiefs.
What's that?
They're not beating the Chiefs either.
No, but he asked me which one, and I was trying to go through doing the math in my head. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger's throwing four interceptions against the Patriots no matter what, so you know Duck Hodges is throwing 8 or 12.
What would the spread be? Let's say Pittsburgh at KC versus Pittsburgh at New England.
At KC, it's minus 11 or plus 11, and at New England, it's plus 14.5.
I don't know. I bet it's like plus 7 or 8.
No way. It is not plus 8.
They're both 10-point spreads. There's no way the Steelers are less than 10 points.
They must be 6 to the Jets.
Yeah. The Steelers, I mean, look, if we're being honest, we don't want the Steelers to make the playoffs, not because we want Breach to take shots at Ryan. I mean, Lord knows if they get in the playoffs, we get an extra week of Breach taking shots at Ryan. But if they don't get in the playoffs, I mean, I would
– One-win Breach? Yes, I welcome that.
It was a glorious one.
One-win Breach.
And you know what? You know who they beat? The New York Jets, Ryan, which is more than I can say for the Steelers.
Ooh.
Boom! Dunked on!
You lost
walked into that one.
Ryan blushed a little. I was
like, oh, please.
You lost to Adam Gase, Ryan.
I didn't lose to anyone. I'm winning.
No, I just think, like, for the purpose of not having to watch it, the Steelers get just blitzkrieged by either the Patriots or the Chiefs.
No, I enjoy it. I love watching the defense play. Like I said, and with Minka and TJ and Bud Dupree, they're actually fun to watch. Sam Darnold looked terrible today, but the problem is that the Steelers quarterbacks, plural, were 10 times worse. Like, yeah. Adam Gase, like, I think Sam Darnold threw two balls down the field. One was a really good pass in the first drive to Robbie Anderson for a really, that was a great pass. That was it.
Sorry,
I would say the problem, and Ryan is the one who's been saying this, the problem is that if the Titans make the playoffs over the Steelers, they're good enough to potentially upset the Chiefs, and then they're going to go to New England and just get completely destroyed, and then if that's how the Patriots get back to the AFC title game, if you want something new. Whereas if the Steelers make it, none of us here think the Steelers are going to beat the Chiefs. So that's,
the Steelers know
if you're anti-Patriots, you don't want the Titans to sneak.
Well, I mean, if you want to root for a good divisional matchup in New England, root for the Chiefs to win, not to gag away their home playoff game. At least the Titans game was in Tennessee, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. One problem. If the Titans are the sixth seed and they win, they're going to play Baltimore. Boom, problem solved.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and then the Patriots you got face dunked the Texans. Well, it was Texans Ryan's idea.
But then long time, set you up.
Then the Patriots face the Texans or the Bills, and they're getting the AFC title game anyway.
Yeah. Back to square one. Although I would much rather the Bills play in New England than the Titans.
So anyway, the other game that I mentioned, the Raiders and the Chargers, allow me really quickly to say that the Chargers are the stupidest organization in the history of sports. They should be, and I'm just going to, I said what I tweeted. They should be taken and stuffed in a box and wrapped up in wrapping paper. Old, tattered, terrible wrapping paper. There should be a bow put on them. They should have a label, and it should say, Dear Son, Merry Christmas. And then they should be put in a catapult or a rocket ship and shot into space, directly into the hottest piece of our universe. And they should burn for all eternity because they are terrible, and they suck, and everything they do is stupid and awful. They're the worst football team. I mean, like, they're like the Cowboys on steroids. The Cowboys are what Dubin called, our friend Jared Dubin called, 9-3, a 9-3 team with 3-9 coaching. The Chargers are a 12-4 team with 4-12 luck, coaching, management, everything. It is
quarterback
play.
Ownership.
Ownership is like they run this muddled, grinded out offense until they get behind two scores of the Raiders. And they're like, well, we got to start winging it around. And they start running the offense. They ran the first 4 weeks of the season with Austin Eckler out there and no Melvin Gordon. And it's flying. And Rivers is making short passes and they're dumping it off and guys are getting yards after catch. I mean, the Raiders lost in that horrific game last week at home to end their run in Oakland on a Hail Mary that hit somebody in the face. You can't get off the mat and beat a team like the Chargers. And they came right out, and the Chargers just let them run all over them. It was humiliating. I mean, Josh Jacobs is out. Trent Brown is out. There's no reason that team should come in there with all their fans and their stupid headgear after they already lost and do that. It's unbelievable. God, I hate this team.
It was nice. Go ahead, John. I don't have any analysis except that it was nice that the Raiders got their Oakland send-off last week, and now they got their L.A. send-off because it was all Raiders fans there.
Yeah, I mean, of course it was. And by the way, like, there are three things the Raiders are going to do to you. They're going to run the ball up the middle with Josh Jacobs or, you know, DeAndre Washington in this case. They're going to throw to a running back after they bootleg Derek Carr, or they're going to throw a short dump to Darren Waller. Like, you don't have to do, you don't have to defend anything more than 5 yards on the field. You bring Perryman in, you bring Derwin James in, you tell your ends not to lose contain on Derek Carr when he bootlegs, and just to pressure him and that's all you have to do. It's not difficult to defend the Raiders, and the Chargers did none of that. They couldn't do any of it. I mean, they're just continually bootlegging Carr, and he's doing like little fist pumps as he's running. Oh my God, it makes me sick. mainly because I think Chargers are the best bet. But I mean, like, it just Chargers. Look, the Raiders. If the Raiders get in the playoffs and they're a 10-point dog to the Chiefs are going to beat them by 60.
They're not getting in the playoffs. The Chargers, by the way, are such a terrible NFL football team. They don't even deserve to play in a 27,000-seat soccer stadium. They are straight up dog doo doo. And by the way, I just dropped something in Slack, our little group chat, and I said this will be my lasting memory of Philip Rivers in a soccer stadium, and it's him pointing at his head. I can't hear, because all the Raiders fans were yelling and screaming, and he couldn't make out what the play call was. Which
is there any sound? Is there any sound to it?
I didn't get that far, but I'm sure you'll tell us.
Oh, this is just gonna be crowd noise.
It won't be a Philip Rivers. It'll just be
Phil pointing at his head. I can't hear.
That's what it's like in his house when his 11 kids are yelling and screaming and he's trying to get something to eat.
This is every Charger. And you know, it occurred to me, like, I know all the tweets, like, you know, Sean's pointing out, like, every time it's Phil walks off with his head raised, but like, it occurred to me in this game that every single Chargers game is the same. They get the ball with 4 minutes left, down 10 points, and they go down and find a way to score a touchdown because the other team stops playing. They play prevent defense and they move the ball down the field and then they like don't get an onside, but they get a stop and they get the ball back down three with like 42 seconds left. And then Phil throws a back breaking pick. Like, I mean, I don't even need to show up anymore. I know what's going to happen. And the Raiders won. So congratulations to the Raiders. And by the way, the day during the Antonio Brown emergency podcast, we talked me into betting on the Raiders team win under. When Jacksonville ripped their hearts out last week, it was alive. Now they have won 7 games. It is dead. So I lost that bet, too.
Mm, you hate to see it.
You know who else is dead? Probably Melvin Gordon's agent should be, because he – whatever happened in that – okay, he shouldn't be. But the horrible, horrible, horrible advice, negotiation, whatever went on with this guy. Can you imagine – I mean, for instance, you going on that whole rant about how bad – everything in LA is, this is kind of a microcosm of that, that Melvin Gordon went from getting an offer that was going to pay him between $10 and $11 million per year for however many years, we'll say 5, and now we have Melvin Gordon rushing for 15 yards on 9 carries in week 16, and what's he going to get when he's a free agent next year? Maybe $4 million? How much money did he cost himself?
I'm about to get $4 million over 5 years. All right. Speaking of big contracts, Mitchell Trubisky's getting one. How much will he get? We'll tell you after the break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I was kidding. Mitchell Trubisky's. Well, actually, you know what? He is going to get a contract.
Chris Collinsworth said if you lined up his plays next to Patrick Mahomes, they look exactly the same.
They had a freaking, like, I understand the need to be positive and sell the game, but in the fourth quarter,
I was scrambling to update these two stories. So I don't
in the fourth in quarter, they had a highlight comparison of like across the body throws that they did, like 4 from Trubisky, 4 from Mahomes, showing that Trubisky had the same tools as Mahomes, and it was like, you guys are trying a little bit too hard to say Trubisky could be Mahomes.
He didn't say that they were the exact same player. He said they were both really athletic.
Count on his fingers? Did you see that?
Quickly, before you interrupt me again, Collinsworth is trending on Twitter.
What for?
For saying that Patrick Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky are one and the same.
I'm not sure you know how trending on Twitter works.
Sean, did you write that for him?
I hate Mitchell Trubisky probably more than you guys.
Why don't I know how trending works? I'm sitting here looking at trending, and it says how.
Screenshot and put in Slack, because I don't believe you, because I don't see it on here.
I think everyone's trending section is different, by the way, based off like your interest in.
Collinsworth is the 14th trend on my trend.
I mean, you don't think my interest includes Sunday Night Football?
I'm just saying that I have Ryan Pace trending.
As do I.
I have Colbert trending.
Thank you.
Maybe I need to hit show more. That would probably help.
I'm on my phone.
Oh, look, Collinsworth trending.
Good job, Ryan. You were able to look at the trending section on Twitter.
Ow! Nobody knew Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick Mahomes, or else they would have traded for him. The Chiefs literally traded two first-round picks, two drafts. By the way,
Go ahead with the counting.
Did you see Mahomes counting on his fingers? Anybody else see that?
Yeah.
He counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 after he scored a touchdown, as in 9 teams passed on me, including the Bears. Mahomes very clearly aware that the Chicago Bears drafted Mitchell Trubisky instead of him. Although, as I pointed out repeatedly, if they switched places, we'd be talking about Mitchell Trubisky as an all-pro or a pro bowler, and Patrick Mahomes would be like this incredible talent that we can't quite harness, and maybe he needs a new coaching staff.
Also, to be clear, I think in general the consensus was Watson versus Trubisky and not Mahomes versus Trubisky. Like, on draft day, there weren't that many people clamoring for Mahomes to go number two overall. It was Watson should have been the pick at number two overall when the Bears traded up.
I don't think it was ever Trubisky versus anyone. It was just Watson.
You can look at a lot of draft boards that had Trubisky as the number one quarterback.
Yeah.
It was a very popular thing of Trubisky being the best quarterback.
Who's the Bears writer for The Athletic? Dan Pompey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just wrote about this in The Athletic. He talked to a bunch of GMs back in 2017, 5 of them, in fact, are personnel guys, and it was mixed. And it was mostly Trubisky and Watson. And not a lot of Mahomes. There were some of it, but the reality is everyone was pretty much wrong except for Andy Reid.
Even Andy Reid jumped on it. He moved up and got, and it, like, if you read the stories, like, Brett Veach, their GM, was almost like borderline obsessed with Mahomes. And like, I'm not saying I doubt he had to twist Andy Reid's arm like crazy hard to get him to go with Mahomes, but like, I mean, you know, they only moved up to 10 to get him. They didn't move. I mean, it's not like they moved up to 2. You know, I mean, it wasn't. Mahomes fell to 10. I mean, that's a pretty steep fall. If you're a generational talent, you fall to 10. That's crazy. And then Watson
went
up there.
That was Colin's
11.
That was Colin Tour's point, though, was that nobody traded up into the top 10 to grab him. I know people are trying to dunk on Collinsworth by saying, oh, well, the Chiefs traded up. But he was saying that, well, if everybody knew Mahomes was good, they would have traded in the top 9 if they had known he was a generational talent.
And the team that traded out of Ted needed a quarterback at the time too. So,
I had the Browns taking Myles Garrett and then trading up to get Trubisky at number 2 in one of my mock drafts. Let's see. Oh, I had Mahomes going 13 to the Cardinals, so that's good at least. Is that good?
Yeah, that's great.
I got killed this first round. Holy crap.
Yeah, we also all write like 30 mocks, so I'm sure one of them we got right.
That's the first one that Debo gave me. I don't know what to tell you. I had a bunch of first rounders right. Good for me.
Well, congratulations. Happy for you.
I'm very happy for myself.
Are we talking about this game or are we?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I don't think we need to spend that much time on
it. Oh, Bears scored 3 points
and got humiliated on national television. Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
I actually think it could have been worse if Andy Reid was willing to actually, like, go for the jugular, and he was very much content. We got a 17-0 lead. Like,
you know why?
Because the Bears can't score on them.
No, my conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah. I actually think, like, we know Mahomes can do this, and he did it against a good Bears defense, but the bigger takeaway is, and I know it's against Trubisky and a terrible Bears offense, but the Chiefs defense continues to play well. And that, to me, is the biggest takeaway of the second half of the Chiefs season, is that their defense is peaking, especially against the pass. And last year, the defense was a huge concern, and we all flagged it as, like, this is why the Chiefs won't get to the Super Bowl. It still might be the case, but I don't think it's nearly the concern it was a year ago.
Yeah, it's like we're talking about with Drew Brees, and the concern last year was him looking old and getting worse. Not a concern this year. It's the same thing with the Chiefs defense, is that they looked like they were getting worse every single week. And it was just like, it's only a matter of time before they completely implode. And that's what happened against the Patriots starting in the second half. They just couldn't, or really the whole game, they just couldn't stop anything. And so it doesn't feel like this Chiefs defense is capable of that. And then you look at the offenses that they might face in the playoffs. Hello, if they play the Steelers in the first round, that's a Chiefs defense can sleepwalk through that. No offense, Ryan. And, you know, if they face the Raiders, the Chiefs have dominated the Raiders. If they end up facing the Bills or the Texans, it's just like, even the Patriots offense isn't that great. So you look at the Chiefs defense and, you know, who do you think they would struggle against in the AFC right now? Maybe Baltimore, but they handled them pretty well back in September.
Yeah, that's it. Just Baltimore.
By the way, I don't know why we're all Googling my mock drafts. Ryan's like telling me why I drafted O.J. Howard fourth overall. Like, O.J. Howard went the first round. What do you want from me, Ryan? Get off my balls. The Chiefs defense coming into this week against the Bears. Before the game against the Bears, 11th in DVOA, 6th in pass DVOA. I think this Chiefs team is going to win the Super Bowl. Now, I mean, that's not a
hard... Over the Vikings? Or the Eagles?
Maybe the Eagles or the Vikings. Eagles, Chiefs would be incredible. And, like, Andy Reid would kick the snot out of that team, too. Right?
Yes.
Like, that, like, you can't...
That second, we keep on talking about the secondary, and teams don't seem to be taking advantage of it. The Chiefs would 100% take advantage of it.
It would be, like, 40-13, and Andy Reid would just bull... I mean, and he blisters his old...
You see Debo sitting right there, right?
What would the point spread be?
Davis Webb, number 25.
Yeah, no.
What round did Davis Webb go in? The third round? Second round?
Third or fourth?
Yeah, he didn't go in the second.
I think third.
Yeah, see, you made Debo mad. Now he's dropping in all year.
This is ruining the podcast. Nobody gives one crap about my...
I do. You brought it up. You were bragging about it.
After you were bragging about it, I think we care now.
Oh, my God. You guys are so petty. The Chiefs are going to be a top 10 defense by DVOA going into week 17. They were playing awesome defense. If I were betting, knowing there's a slight chance that the Patriots could lose to the Dolphins in week 17, like Ryan Fitzpatrick's captaining that team. Who the hell knows what happens? I don't think they'll win, but the Dolphins could pull it off. If the Chiefs were to flip up and get that number 2 seed and you could get them, we said this before the week or we said it on Saturday, if you get them at 8-1 to win the Super Bowl, go do it. That is good value.
So is this a Super Bowl pick, or are you going to change it like John did 24 hours later when you learned?
I have not changed my Super Bowl pick all year. It's been Chiefs Vikings since day one, Ryan, and both my teams are still alive, unlike you.
Yeah, me and Breach have stayed consistent with our picks.
I'm consistent with mine. I never changed it. My quarterback for my AFC team just blew out his elbow in week 2. I don't know what to tell you.
So it sounds like you're now changing it.
Changing it, yeah. That's what that sounds like.
I mean, like, I don't think the Steelers are going to make it to the Super Bowl. Do you?
I have hope. You don't never say never.
I never thought that. I didn't think that heading into the year.
Who did you have, Sean? The Chiefs and the Eagles. Andy Reid finally has time to ascend to the throne of his rightful Mahomesian policy.
Are you making fun of me for selecting the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because that's literally what everyone else did.
I'm sorry, Brinson, that we pick teams and players who actually have chances to win awards, and you pick centers to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't know.
I'm sorry you have Mr. Trubisky. Moving along.
I'm sorry, too.
What?
I'm sorry, too.
I put a bet in on the Chiefs at 6.5, 7-1 to win the Super Bowl. I think they look like a team. If you had to make me pick what two teams would meet in the Super Bowl right now, I would say Chiefs Saints. Cause I think those two teams are peaking right now. Like that's what you want is a team coming in hot. Now the Saints are going to have, they're going to have their bye, but they're probably going to have a bye, but they're going to, you know, they're going to be at home. And I think the Chiefs, I almost think if you're the Chiefs, you don't mind not having a bye. Like, I think they want to keep playing. This defense is playing well.
And the offense has slowly been getting better since.
Mahomes is playing his ass off, dude. He is. I mean, he's playing better than he was last year right now.
Yeah. Maybe a week off, you get that little rust, and it's just enough that it kind of slows you down. Yeah. Brinson,
also,
it's crazy.
We just talked about the three teams they might face. Like, I don't think any of us think either of those three teams. Like, we don't feel like one of these teams has, like, a legit shot to upset them either.
Well, who, one of the number six, the six seeds?
Yeah, I'm saying that in the first round, we all feel comfortable there's a 95% chance the Chiefs are winning that game. So that's why you don't mind
the Chiefs are one of two teams to beat the Ravens this year. right?
And the other one won't be in the playoffs.
Yep. The Browns the only team.
But they are 6-9.
That's nice. I'm just saying, we've seen the Chiefs play the Texans. We've seen them play the Patriots. We've seen them beat the Patriots. We've seen them beat the Ravens. We've seen them beat the only two teams seated above them. If I am encouraging people who listen to this podcast that might be looking for a future to bet on the Chiefs, because I think it's a good bet. It's good value, and I think they could make a run. Ravens 31, Browns 15. Uy. Ravens covered the 10, the under 49 hit. Lamar Jackson got through like the first quarter with -1 fantasy points, and it looked like it was gonna be a bloody Sunday. Because basically, I mean, I think the numbers have to be outrageous, and I will look this up for you in 1 second. But I mean, what percent do you guys think of championship teams have? Did Adi send this to all of us? The most started players in 12-team CBS Sports Fantasy Championship League games. What percent do you think of those teams in championship games had Lamar Jackson on them?
600.
Bear in mind that it can't be higher than 50.
Oh. You know.
Yeah, that's a tough question because all the teams get eliminated. You don't know how many teams left have Lamar. 30. So, 32.
33.
Why are you going to Price is Right me, guys?
Sure went 29.
41.9.
That's insane.
The only I wonder if you can guess the only person higher with a higher starting percentage on championship teams.
C-Mac?
Defense.
C-Mac is a good guess, 40.2, but no.
Ooh.
Yeah, I guess the Patriots defense.
That is good. Patriots are 29. You got to think a little bit more strategically when you think about the
play. Andy Dalton.
That's not Ryan's in the right strategy.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Brashad Perryman.
Oh.
Because he was a free – and nobody – he was a free agent. So, the only people were picking him up who were still alive in the playoffs. 47.9% of teams. But Lamar – I mean, the point being is nearly literally almost every championship team had – if there's 9% of people who drafted Lamar Jackson and didn't make it to the finals. Congratulations. You're a loser. The Lamar Jackson, if you had him, through one quarter, he had -1. And then all of a sudden, he exploded for a huge game. And look, he benefited from the fact that Freddie Outhouse is a flaming moron who doesn't know how to get to half with a lead or with a 1-point deficit. Did you see that happen, Ryan?
What's that?
Did you see that happen? What he did?
Yeah. Let me say this quickly before I forget. Randy tweeted this out at me, and I showed you guys over the weekend. He said in the tweet, "We had our annual gingerbread / graham cracker house making contest tonight. My mother-in-law called mine an outhouse," and he sent a picture. Not a great gingerbread house, but hey, he ain't a gingerbread architect. Anyway, he said, "I asked her politely not to call it Freddy Kitchens. I was the only one who got the joke." So,
look, you can take your victory lap. When we didn't laugh at you when you made the Freddy outhouse joke the first time, we were wrong.
I mean, the thing is,
wildfire.
Well, because the thing is, it's good now. I'm not criticizing it, but it was so bad at the time that it became good.
Yeah. I'll take it. Hey, I'll take it.
Sean, do you think that Ryan has told his wife at one point, you won't believe this, I went viral?
His kids, too. I'm surprised Ryan has not started a fake Twitter account called Freddy Outhouse, where he tweets parody of Freddy Kitchens.
By the way, I want to mention this, too. I haven't done that. But
just really quickly to mention what he did.
Oh,
he got the ball back with 1:18 left in the first half, and the Ravens were up 7-6. They had just scored. The Browns had been playing not well, but they had been limiting the Ravens offense, which is something nobody does. They were playing from ahead. And then he threw the ball deep 3 times.
It happens.
And they gave the ball right back to the Ravens, and the Ravens in about 1:18 went down, and Lamar Jackson for the second time in the half hit Mark Andrews for a touchdown, and it flipped every fantasy league on the planet.
The Ravens were shut out, and then in the last 2 minutes of the half, on 2 drives, they went a combined 9 plays, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 78 seconds of possession. That's how fast the game switched.
Freddie Kitchens insists week after week that he doesn't coach penalties. Before the game, and we know that Odell Beckham got that stupid taunting call. I didn't get the taunting call, but that doesn't happen in any other team. But before the game, Odell Beckham was wearing Christmas tree shoes that lit up. So he spent more time putting his shoes on with the batteries in them than preparing for the game. Does that happen on the Patriots? I mean, that's what we always come back to. Does that happen on the Ravens? Does it happen on any team that wins football games regularly?
No.
Why would, on God's green earth, would you bring Freddie Kitchens back for one more year?
Why are you against Christmas tree shoes, Ryan? Get in the holiday spirit, man.
Ryan's on the war on Christmas.
Freddie Kitchens' explanation. He was asked on electing to throw the ball late in the first half rather than run the clock out. We could have. We were trying to get the clock started. A couple short passes got batted down. We could have ran it, could have done a lot of things. We caught a couple 5-yard routes, and the clock never got started. So it's, you know, so to second guess once it happened. No, no, Freddie, it's not. If you try to pass the ball and you don't complete the pass, the clock doesn't start. And if you run the ball, the clock starts no matter what. So it's not second guessing. You just don't know what you're doing.
It's first guess.
They're definitely bringing it back just because it's the dumbest thing on the planet. Right?
Football team. Yeah. No, it sounds like it. Although it sounds like John Dorsey wants to bring him back. Jimmy Haslam is the owner, and obviously he may have a different viewpoint because the man's a laughing stock. And by that, I mean Jimmy Haslam, by virtue of the fact of having Freddie Kitchens out there doing this crazy stuff, making Hugh Jackson look like Bill Walsh.
I'm with you. Should the Ravens play their player? The Ravens, by the way, clinched home field. Lamar finished with, a monster game. Like, I don't know how it happened.
Lamar was limping at points during that game. Ingram was hurt during his calf injury.
All the same drive. Mark Andrews, yes. So I agree. Don't play him. Lamar, 20 of 31, 238 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 70 carries, 103 yards. Mark Andrews, 6 catches, 93 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mark Ingram crossed over 1,000 yards, meaning that Lamar and Mark Ingram are the first duo to have 1,000 as a quarterback running back since
Andy Dalton and Joe Mixon.
You guys gotta be kidding me.
Michael Vick.
And
Trubisky and Jordan Howard.
And who's the guy that did the Dirty Bird?
Oh, Jamal Anderson?
No,
Jamal Anderson. That's who I was thinking of.
Jamal Anderson was the Dirty Bird guy. I think smaller, more diminutive. Like,
oh, Warren Dunn.
We're done.
Great job. Got it. Good job, Ryan. Really high five.
Yeah, great work.
Thanks.
Tired of losing all your cash.
What?
More cash. It's time for the playoffs. And so, I don't know. I was trying to do like a...
it's the worst promo ever.
J.G. Wentworth. 867 cash. No. It's almost time for the playoffs.
You sound like who's the lawyer from Breaking Bad? You sound like one of his ads.
Sal Goodman?
Yeah.
Every time that J.G. Wentworth comes on the NFL Network, I like go diving into my living room to hit mute on the button because if I hear like one line on it, it's stuck in my head for like 6 hours. Like Freddie Outhouse. It's almost time for the playoffs, and CBS Sports is a new way for you to up the action. It's called Playoff Pick'em. Whether you want to pick the games for cash or compete against friends, we have you covered with two easy ways to play. First, enter the Playoff Challenge for your chance to win $5,000. All you need to do is pick the winners of every single playoff game, and the champion walks away with a big $5,000 in cash. Second, get your friends, family, coworkers, or anybody that loves football involved by creating a fully customizable private playoff pool. You'll be in full control with options to choose the matchups you want to include, how to pick, scoring, and more. Best of all, Playoff Pick'em is totally free. Visit cbssports.com/playoff or download the CBS Sports app now to start your pool and play for $5,000. Should we do a Pick 6 podcast playoff pool?
Duh.
We're here.
All right, let's do one. Okay. We'll do a playoff pool. And Debo, if you could bypass legal and find some way to get a prize, that'd be fantastic. Cardinals, 27.
The prize can be an autographed Fast 5 Blu-ray. There you go, guys. That's a great prize. Everyone will sign up. I'll get Vin Diesel. I'll get all the cast members to sign it besides me.
Hey, when you go to Jay Cutler's house, you get him to sign it.
I'll get Jay Cutler. Well, Sean, that autograph's for you. I can't get multiples. Okay. Come on. I'll look like a collector. He'll chew me out.
Do you think my neighbor likes the fact that my dog runs outside at 12:45 in the morning and barks in the direction of his house? I bet not.
Probably as much as my neighbor likes me podcasting this time tonight.
It's 9:45 at your house. Grow up, neighbor. Cardinals 27, Seahawks 13. Ooh, a tough loss for the Cardinals as Kyler Murray's status is in doubt. By the way, the Rams, I saw a Rams -7 is hung out there right now that you could go wager on. I would take the Rams minus 7 right now because that line's going to be above 10 if Kyler Murray does not play. And the Cardinals would be morons to play him in week 17 of a meaningless game when he's got a hamstring injury as a rookie as good as he's looked. Cardinals covered the plus 8. Obviously, they won outright as huge dogs. The under 51.5 hit. Told you to bet both of those, I believe. Seahawks 49ers has been flexed to Sunday night in week 17. Do you guys think Kyler or Josh Jacobs will win Rookie of the Year right now?
That's a great question.
I tend to think Kyler would get the nod right now because Josh Jacobs missed multiple games.
Yeah, but yeah. Kyler might miss a game right now. You got to take that into account.
I would personally pick Kyler. I think we've seen – the degree of difficulty that he's had to overcome is more significant than what Josh Jacobs has had to overcome. And also just positional value.
Wait, what degree of difficulty? They literally designed an offense around him and hired a coach who could perfectly.
I mean, this was an offense. This was an unwatchable offense a year ago, and a lot of the personnel stayed the same.
Yeah, the year before that, the offense was pretty good.
I mean,
Josh Jacobs is second leading rusher in the NFL for a team that's still in the playoff hunt.
I think a lot of this is quarterbacks matter more than running backs.
Do you think that Josh Jacobs is the second leading rusher in the NFL because
in the AFC?
Derek Carr is so good.
Well, he's the second leading rusher in the AFC.
Yeah.
So that's not the NFL, first of all. Second of all,
that's why I corrected.
Are the Raiders in the playoff hunt because they're the second leading rusher in the AFC?
Are they? You tell me.
No, they're not. They built the offense around him because their quarterback's a little Charlie checkdown, and Josh Jacobs ran the ball 242 times.
And if Josh Jacobs would have been a draft bust, the Raiders would be 4-11 right now.
No.
They would have the same record.
They won without him.
They wouldn't have the same record.
Yes, they would. You could
the exact same record.
Yeah, and the Cardinals just finished off the Seahawks without Kyler Murray.
By the way, the Cardinals are 3-9.
They were up by, 14 points that Kyler spotted them?
What is happening here? This is bizarre. Do you think Josh Jacobs?
I think Josh Jacobs is a fair argument to win the Rookie of the Year over Kyler Murray.
Yeah, you brought it up, Brinson. So John's making his point. And by the way, before they beat the Browns last week and then beat the hapless Seahawks, they were 3-9-1 with Kyler Murray. They weren't actually setting the world on fire. Lost to Duck Hodges in Arizona.
What's happening, Sean?
You asked us who should win Rookie of the Year, and we're saying it should be Josh Jacobs.
No. The argument ensued when you said, what has Kyler Murray had to overcome? I don't know, Breach. The worst offensive line in the NFL, maybe?
That was one. Steve Wilks. They shouldn't hire Steve Wilks. If they hired someone who actually understood how offensive football worked, they fired Ken Whisenhunt halfway through the season.
Kyler's gotten bludgeoned half the year. They get the ball out quickly. That's the only reason he's not getting killed.
Well, you need to take that up with your buddy Steve Keim because he's the guy who put these players on the field.
Steve, you know, who has more touchdown passes than Kyler Murray? Daniel Jones.
Ooh,
he's missed more.
You hate to hear it.
He's also a rookie.
Weren't you on the Kyler Murray bandwagon?
Murray is also a rusher of 504 yards and 4 touchdowns.
How many yards has Josh Jacobs rushed for? Dunked on. Next question.
All right, do you want to compare total yards? Because I think you're going to lose that argument.
Sean, I can dunk on you sitting down, laying down, 1 foot, standing on my head. Bring it on.
I don't know. I think you're 5'9.5"? That's like what I am.
That's very rude. 5'10.75". You know that's true, too. All right. Brinson, you asked the question. We answered.
Kyler Murray's averaging 36 rushing yards per game. Josh Jacobs is averaging 88. And one's a running back. What are we even doing here? I can't believe
you brought up the question.
I would go Kyler. I would not be surprised if the voters went Josh Jacobs. I think Josh Jacobs missing the last few weeks will probably end his case.
What about A.J. Brown?
I would be fine with A.J. Brown, too.
I'll tell you who it won't be. Garrett Bradbury. Boom. Dunk on Brinson.
That's an alley-oop dunk.
And I'm sure you jabrons pick Kyler Murray because you're softies. You don't care about...
This guy gets mad when you pick the obvious answers if we're not trying to, that's our job, is to try to predict things correctly. I'm sorry that we pick obvious answers.
He also likes getting yelled at for saying stupid stuff on Twitter, so he can go back on the off chance that he lands one and just dunk on everyone. He has those tweets saved. So he has 5,000 tweets saved about the Garrett Bradbury thing he's going to have to delete. But when he hits on one, oh, watch out.
What's the last time he hit on one?
That's a great – when is the last time, Brinson?
Reed said Miles Sanders.
That's not insane. I think I said Devin Bush.
And that was a preseason chance.
He's got as much a chance as winning as Garrett Bradbury. Get out of here.
Oh, please.
Are you kidding me? No, Miles Sanders has a much better chance of winning Offensive Rookie of the Year than Garrett Bradbury.
Garrett Bradbury has
a 0% chance of going into the year.
You know what's funny?
10% chance.
If you ask Mike Zimmer who he'd rather have playing center, he would say Miles Sanders.
All right, so the Seahawks, I don't know why we're talking about the Cardinals. Seahawks are a actual playoff team. By the way, don't play. Go bet on the Rams -7. Don't play the Kyler Murray in Week 17, guys. Great pass. Did you see that crazy, like, Farvian, like, little light touch pass to Larry Fitzgerald? That was
nice.
Kyler Murray's awesome.
He's good. Yeah. I mean, he's got a long way to go, but he's good. As you point out, the offense has some limitations. But, yeah, he's getting better for sure.
Kyler would be in my top three if I was drafting right now to start a franchise.
Mahomes, Lamar, Kyler?
Yeah.
Mm.
Are you going above Kyler?
How old is Russell Wilson? You still just
30.
I'm going Russell Wilson.
I might take Deshaun.
Yeah, I would go Deshaun over Kyler.
Yeah, I would take Deshaun.
Top five. Maybe we'll look at this again in the offseason. Russell would still be up there. Maybe take Danny Dimes. Who knows? Anyway, Seahawks. Missing Dwayne Brown, missing Chris Carson. We touched on them briefly. I think Breach said something. I can't remember. What was it?
Jadeveon. Diggs.
What was it? Who did you mention, Breach, when you were talking about the Seahawks?
Griffin, Clowney, and Diggs. All missed. I think the Seahawks, too, just because it's in Seattle, and the 49ers have looked so bad lately. I have no faith in them to go into one of the most hostile environments in the entire NFL. I mean, we saw Jimmy Garoppolo at home looked like trash for three quarters before he finally got together for the final two possessions. He does that against the Seahawks. He's going to be down 34-7.
The best part about that clip is, like, in all the other people talking around before and after that, in no way is there any other talk about the Seahawks winning. It's just you.
The best part of that clip is you keep playing. This is like going in to buy a car on Saturday and it looks great, brand new. And then I go in Sunday to finish the purchase and the windshield's broken, a tire is missing, and the trunk's on fire. So
I
this
told
is like,
you in the showroom at the time, John, what was going to happen.
That's
you,
a good metaphor.
You
that's
laughed at me.
Also, so obviously I'm not going to buy it. Yes, I'm on my YouTube show tonight. It's
also funny. He wasn't talking about the Cardinals, too. He was talking about the game that hasn't happened yet. Like, that prediction might still be right. Like, the Seahawks still might beat the 49ers.
Yeah.
And then he'll go back and say that. This is
a premature dunking.
No, but now he can play both sides. He's just basically pulled a Brinson on us. He has both sides of the argument locked, unlocked.
I learned from the master.
I just think the Seahawks look like a team that is right to lose a playoff game. And I really do think if they get the fifth seed and they have to go to Philly, they are going to – now, look, don't get me wrong.
This thing on, have I been saying this? This is so disrespectful to me.
I mean, we're just touching on Seahawks really quickly. They're moving along. Okay, so we all agree Seahawks could probably lose and could end up in a bad spot, but
man. Seahawks have a worse point differential than the Eagles.
Oh, there you
just
go.
Point that out there.
Wow. By the way, I should point out, speaking of awards, real quickly before we move on from the Cardinals, Comeback Player of the Year Award, I'd like to nominate four guys.
Oh, I saw your tweet. Go ahead. That's well good. Played. Someone did you steal that
someone,
tweet?
Someone tweeted a different version last week. That
oh,
everyone
there
tweeted.
It is. There it is. I knew. Adam Beasley, take credit for the tweet. Go ahead.
Did Beasley tweet that?
I'm wondering.
Someone tweeted something with all those players. It wasn't framed as like Comeback Player of the Year, but it was. I wonder what the common denominator in all this is.
We've been talking about this in the podcast. The
Comeback Player of the Year. Who you got?
It's Adam Gase will be accepting the award for Minkah Fitzpatrick, Kenyon Drake, Ryan Tannehill, and Devontae Parker. Are you guys ready to get with the ghost in this Devontae Parker thing? By the way,
are we doing what?
You ready to give up that you lost?
He gave up 2 months ago. Are you crazy?
Wait. I mean, until Sammy gets three playoff games in. And
is Sammy still on, is he still on the Chiefs roster? Is
he caught a pass in the first quarter today.
Sammy.
Devontae Parker had 5 catches for 111 yards.
Every time I turn around, he's making a catch. The thing is, Sammy Watkins is so bad, he couldn't even play on the Steelers roster right now. That's how bad Sammy Watkins is.
Oh, my God. This is the greatest bet.
Come on. He catches 28 yards for Sammy Watkins. He had a 17-yard catch in the first quarter.
That's what he does. He gets your hopes up, and then he disappears for 3.5 quarters.
Kenny Drake's going to get paid in free agency. He's going to make more money than Melvin Gordon in free agency.
100%. He might be staying in Arizona because, well, they can't get rid of Dave Johnson yet, right?
Someone was saying they should who was, I think it was Jamie Eisenberg said that they should, Tampa Bay should try to trade for him for cheap, reunite him with Bruce Arians in that offense.
I like that idea. Drake has 46 carries, 303 yards, and 6 rushing touchdowns in his last 2 games. The Dolphins' leading rusher this year, let's see if you can guess who it is, 49 carries, 228 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
We already all knew that. All right. Next.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Boom.
Don't play, Breach.
Race to the bottom.
Thank you, next.
Race to the bottom.
You know why I knew that?
The
because...
worst game in the history of the NFL.
Bengals
and
like
Dolphins
that.
Went to overtime.
To be fair, Dolphins, Bengals, and Redskins, Giants were 2 of the best games on Sunday.
We cannot believe that the National Football League subjected the humans in America to 8 hours of Giants, Redskins, and Dolphins, Bengals.
That last... John can talk about the last minutes of regulation. That was exciting football.
It was. It was. 38. In fact, I would like to throw, I said no one is going to be watching this, and then immediately it became watchable. 38-35 Dolphins win. The Dolphins obviously covered as dogs at home. The over 45.5 hit quite easily. Andy Dalton, top fantasy performer, 39 points. Ryan Fitzpatrick with 38. Breach, do you want to tell us about the crazy end to the game?
I want to tell you guys that as the captain of the Andy Dalton bandwagon all year, I was in the finals of a fantasy football league, and at 12:57 p.m., 3 minutes before the 1 o'clock game started, I benched Ryan Tannehill, and I put Andy Dalton in as my starting quarterback. And then as soon as the games kicked off and Dalton immediately started and looked like trash, I wanted to throw up because it was going to cost me about $400 if I lose this. And then the end of the game happened, and I had tears coming down my eyes because this was literally the best case scenario ever for the Bengals. A, we watched the most exciting game involving a 1-14 game in NFL history. No one can argue that. The Bengals were down. They were down 28-6 at one point. We had everyone tweeting, oh, it's official. The Bengals have the number one draft pick. Then it actually got even worse. They were down 35-12 with 6 minutes and 15 seconds left. Now, mind you, the Bengals going into this game were the one of 3 teams in the NFL that had not scored more than 30 points all season. The Jaguars and the Steelers are the other two. The Bengals were also the only team in the NFL that had yet to score more than 2 touchdowns in a game all season. Literally, they maxed out at 2 touchdowns. They have not topped that a single time all year. So the thought of them coming back from a 35-12 deficit with 6:15 left in the game, this is Peyton Manning stuff. That is the only time that stuff happens. Colts Buccaneers game being down that many points with that little time left. So what do we get? We get an Andy Dalton garbage time touchdown. That's what it felt like. He hits his tight end, CJ Uzomah, 6:11 left. Again, you still think the game is over. The Dolphins punt the ball, blah, blah, blah. The Bengals are now trailing 35-19. They get the ball back. More garbage time yardage. I'm counting it all up because, remember, Dalton's my fantasy quarterback. I want this $800 pot I get for winning my league. So then they drive down. They score again with 29 seconds left. And I'm thrilled because at this point, Dalton's up to 30 fantasy points. Tannehill finished with 29. But also, the Bengals are down 35-25, so they have to go for 2. Boom, they get the 2-point conversion. So now it's 35-27, 29 seconds left, and I'm thrilled because the Bengals are going to lose, get this first pick. Dalton just had a huge day. I've written the game off. I'm ready to check out. I'm emotionally spent. I couldn't take anymore. And I wasn't expecting anymore because no one recovers onside kicks. Then what happens? The Bengals recover the onside kick. I fell out of my chair. I think my chair is broken. I might have to get a new chair for Christmas. If anyone I know is listening, I need a new chair for Christmas. They recover the onside kick. They complete a quick 34-yard pass to get down to the 25-yard line. They have no timeouts left. They spike it with 2 seconds left. Now they have one shot from the 25-yard line. 2 seconds. Last play. Borderline Hail Mary. Dalton throws a laser into the end zone. It gets caught. Tyler Eifert catches it in the end zone. Oh, my gosh. If you thought my chair was broken before, I got more garbage time Andy Dalton points. But they're not even garbage time because now they could win this game. Then, you know what Dalton does? He scores the 2-point conversion to tie the game and send it to overtime. And all I could think of was this was the greatest comeback I've ever seen. And if they lose in overtime, that would be perfect because then they seal the number one pick. Dalton just put on a show for everyone. and then they did lose in overtime. And you know what? If they would have won, I would have actually sounded sadder right now. So this was really the perfect game. This game couldn't have gotten any better, guys. And thanks for letting me rant on the Bengals for 3 minutes.
I cannot believe how long you just did that for.
There was a point where all of us, I feel like, we're looking at her. I looked up and all of our heads were like down. And
I want to apologize for suggesting that Breach should be allowed to talk about this game.
Hey, let's see if Ryan Fitzpatrick talks as long as Breach does.
Never a doubt on that one, you know? We knew we had it the whole way. Absolutely wild finish. Great job by our defense at overtime stepping up and holding them a few times, and great job by our guys stepping up. Isaiah Ford made some huge catches for us there.
Much better than Breach.
Red rifle versus the Amish rifle, man. What else could you have expected?
Breach would be an awesome salesman, by the way, like a door-to-door salesman, because he doesn't care what you're doing. He's just going to plow through his speech with a lot of enthusiasm. You're going to buy a vacuum cleaner whether you want to or not.
No, then the best part in the end, he's like, and then they lost.
Burying the lead. They did lose. And a fun fact for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't just do Bengals stuff. Fitzpatrick threw for 419 yards and 4 touchdowns. The 4th time in his career that he's thrown for 4 touchdowns and more than 400 yards. That is more than Tom Brady has done that and tied with Aaron Rodgers.
What are you going to do with your $800 winnings?
Well, I need Dan Bailey, the Vikings kicker, not to score 52 points on Monday night. So I'm not going to spend it yet. And
one thing you can spend a portion of it on.
A chair?
Mitch Trubisky stickers.
Yeah, you have to send those to me. That wasn't part of the deal.
I tend to agree with Shaw. I breached there.
You know what? I will happily front that if you're all wearing
a Mitch. Let's wrap this up. Anyway, the Bengals secured the number one overall pick. Devontae Parker, did I mention, went over 111 yards. What is our total count now, by the way?
Thought we were trying to wrap things up.
It's a lot to a little.
And to back up Brenton, I also had Devontae Parker on my game-winning fantasy roster, and I picked him up.
Booyah!
Because Brenton was so staunchly supporting him, and I've been carrying him since like week 2.
I will happily take $80 then, please.
I'll give you 6.
Okay, $8 is fine. 1,065 yards for Mr. Parker on the season, and Mr. Watkins.
I want those 11 rushing yards.
How many did you say? How many yards do you have receiving on Sunday? 11?
20-something. 28. Good memory, Ryan.
All right, let's say let's carry the 1.
Did you give me those 11 rushing yards?
And add the rushing yards, 676.
Oh, he's still on it. By the way, I mentioned this and no one responded.
So if he can get 450 of those Andy Dalton 12,000 passing yards in week 16, week 17.
He needs a Dan Bailey type performance in week 17.
So Redskins Giants were the other game.
Devontae Parker missed the onside kick, by the way. That's minus 1,000 yards.
Okay. Agreed.
Problem.
You have to subtract every single yard the Bengals gained after that point from his total.
I wasn't that many.
And we did the math, and he's still ahead by 700.
All right, Redskins Giants.
This is a crazy game. Dwayne Haskins actually left the game. I don't know whether he'll play or not. The Redskins are 10.5-point dogs to the Giants in Week 17. It doesn't really matter. I still think they'll cover with Case Keenum to Case Keenum. I really think that the Redskins got enough from Dwayne Haskins and Terry McLaurin and Steven Sims and Darius Geis down the stretch. I know Geis is hurt, but like you can kind of feel like you can. I mean, if Dan Snyder would get rid of Bruce Allen, he could sell a coach on coming in here.
Well, that's all you got to do. No problem. They need a left tackle too, by the way.
Yeah, they do need a left tackle. Trent Brown's a problem, but I mean, like they have a lot of pieces on that
Trent
offense.
Williams, yeah.
Trent Williams, I hear Trent Brown. Yeah, I mean, like. The Redskins don't have to be a 5-win team. Like, if you bring in somebody who can...
They have a lot of holes, man.
Sure, but, like,
they don't have any tight ends.
They made Daniel Jones look like Peyton Manning. So, yeah, they've got
Josh Norman is a disaster. They have no defensive back.
Josh Norman's getting cut.
You still got to find a replacement.
Landon Collins, $80 million. That's a problem.
Look, Dwayne Haskins has been a pleasant surprise, and Scary Terry's awesome. We all agree on that. But beyond that, I don't know, man. They're a bad football team.
Okay. What do you think the top of the draft's going to look like as we stand right now, Ryan? Who's got where the picks at? I know you were doing the beautiful mind thing with the draft order and evolving and changing your mock draft.
As John so gleefully pointed out moments ago, the Bengals have locked up the number one pick. So I don't think there's a way they can somehow get out of that. We'll wait and see, but they have it. Number two, the Redskins.
They officially have it.
I'm just kidding. Like only the Bengals could find a way to somehow not have it. The Redskins are number two. If the Giants had lost a game, like any self-respecting Giants fan had hoped, they would have the number two pick. So Chase Young is presumably going to Washington for now. Here's the thing: the Lions are so bad, and I tweeted this out. I'll look up the tweet in a second. But they have the third pick, and they could end up with the second pick as 3-11-1 if the Redskins win and the Giants win.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, they're a bad, bad football team. And I tweeted this out before the Giants actually ended up losing to the Lions ended up losing to the Broncos today. And I said Detroit would have the number three pick in the draft into the final week of the season. During my guy Jim Caldwell's tenure, 2014-2017, the Lions won 11-7-9-9 games. They picked 28th, 16th, 21st, and 20th. They picked 8th last year, took T.J. Hockenson, and right now they have the third pick. But, you know, Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are coming back because I don't know why.
Joe Burrow 1, Chase Young 2. Where do we go from there?
Detroit, they need help with the long defensive line. So I had them taking Derek Brown at Auburn, who's a really good defensive lineman, the best in the class. The Giants have the number 4 pick. You would imagine they would take an offensive lineman, presumably an offensive tackle, to help Daniel Jones. And then also worth noting, the Dolphins have the number 5 pick now. So they were tanking for Tua for the first half of the season. They got red hot. They're now 4-11. So they have the number 5 pick. And the two other draft picks they got through trades, number 19 they have, which is a Steelers pick, and number 25. So, you know, we talk about it every week. Are you replacing Laremy Tunsil, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and finding a quarterback with those three picks? I don't know if you are, but they have a ton of picks in the first few rounds. So they have an opportunity to do that. I think, and I don't think it's up for debate, but I think they are much, much, much better shape than the Redskins, who we were just talking about, even though the Redskins appear to have a quarterback.
All right. I think there's Broncos Lions. I'll be honest, I didn't watch a minute of this game.
I watched a little bit of the fourth quarter, and Drew Lock looked good. The Lions stink.
Sorry, go ahead.
It was much more, I think there was even a question someone asked him about it. Like, he was much more, for lack of a better term, like game manager Drew Lock and less like gunslinger Drew Lock, but he actually looked pretty good in that role, and he wasn't throwing crazy interceptable passes. And
no interceptions. I think he completed a good number of his passes, threw for over 200 yards, I believe. And he, as Sean said, he was very efficient, and that's all you want.
He's exceeded all expectations, I feel like. And
well, play a few games, but yeah.
Right, but I thought when they – because they waited so long, and I know he was hurt, but they still – it took so long, and he fell to the second round when, you know, at the beginning of draft season, he was a potential first-round pick. That yeah. I felt like expectations were so low that he's exceeded them in my mind in limited time.
I mean, Vic Fangio basically he called him a pitcher before the year. He's like, yeah. he's like a pitcher.
He was like, he needs to learn how to play quarterback, I think was like the quote.
I think the biggest strike against him, to continue the metaphor, is that John Elway liked him. Like, oh boy, this guy must be terrible.
I mean, I tend to think that, again, like, you know, talking about the Redskins, I'm just saying, like, you're just trying to sell hope at this point in the season. Like, Drew Lock, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, you know, they have younger pieces that they beefed up the offensive line. I mean, there's you know, there's some pieces there.
Defense isn't bad.
Yeah, you're going to lose Chris Harris and more than likely. But I mean, yeah, there's a lot of, he didn't re-sign, did he? No. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like, maybe they bring him back, probably losing Derek Wolfe or Chris Harris. But I mean, there's a lot of pieces there. This game, there were good games on TV. You should not have watched this game. Lions were up 10-0. Falcons 24, Jags 12. How the F did this game go under? The Falcons scored 14 points in 5 minutes.
Before the Jaguars ran a play.
Yeah, they scored 14 points before the Jaguars ran a play. And they scored 10 points the rest of the game. Jaguars scored 12. That was a beating for me early on. I had the Falcons team total over at 27.5, I think. Devonta Freeman, 24 fantasy points. He was awesome. Great for DFS. The Falcons covered 7.5 in the under 48 hit. And there are now reports, there were reports before the game that Doug Marrone and Dan Quinn might keep their jobs. Which would be more offensive to you, Doug Marrone or Dan Quinn?
Oh, that's easy. I mean, Dan Quinn's actually, they're 6-9, right?
Yeah. Like a week ago, you're like, they're on fire.
And they just won again.
And they're going to finish second in the division if they beat the Buccaneers next week in week 17.
Brenton, you just want to do a layup and hit your head on the backboard and knock yourself out.
I mean, you just keep talking about this team. You're like, this team's on fire. They're three games under 500.
They're 6-9. They were terrible the first half of the season. Compared to the Jaguars, they're like a Super Bowl team. They just beat the who did they beat last week? That was the 49ers. I mean, come on.
It's a huge stretch, for sure.
Not a huge stretch. Like that.
And the thing is, Dan Quinn and the Falcons, and I know this wasn't a divisional game, but they always do well in the division since 2016. They're 17-7, and I'm sure that's what he's going to go up to Arthur Blank. Look, I can win games in this division. I'm always winning games in this division. They might go 7-9 this year, but they're going to go 4-2 in the division if they win in week 17.
You know what else, gentlemen?
What
Dan
else?
Dan Quinn coached a William and Mary. There you go.
That's enough. That alone,
he still hasn't beaten a freaking AFC team since 2017.
Like AFC? He plays
in just beat an AFC team.
Who'd you beat?
Oh, boy.
The Jags.
Oh, the Jags. That was his first win since 2017.
Who'd he beat?
You're an awesome lawyer, by the way. Can you imagine this guy defending you in the court of law?
I'm a bird lawyer. No, I was looking at PFR and I was like, it's San Fran, Carolina. You know, it's annoying that I wish PFR would update like after the games.
I know, it's their fault.
It's like, no, the next morning, like you can't check stats from like immediate stats.
I know, you have to go.
You got to wait the next day.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Preston, you know what's funny about you saying that though is that
it's wrong.
Jacksonville has lost seven straight games to NFC teams. So Marone is equally bad, except he lost this game, so his streak is still going. So fire him. If I had to fire one of those guys, it'd be Marone.
I'm just looking for an angle.
I agree with you guys. The only defense I will give Marone over Quinn is that one of them has a quarterback, the other one doesn't really have one.
Whoa. That is not a defense. They brought in Nick Foles for $40 billion.
I don't think Doug Marone made that call.
Yeah. So Prisco talked about this at the halftime show on Sunday, Verizon halftime show on CBS Sports HQ, and he was like, I was like, this front office and this coaching staff extended Bortles, and then they brought in Doug Foles. He's like, I know for a fact none of them did that. And Doug Marone has never been able to coach a team because Tom Coughlin's been on the sidelines with a whistle the entire time. It's like, well, I mean, that's okay, but I don't think getting rid of Tom Coughlin is going to make Doug Marone a magically incredible coach. Like, I just think it's crazy the Jags are like, okay, this is working out. Let's just see how it goes one more year. Like, you got to blow this whole thing up.
I'm trying to think. Like, Shad Khan owns Fulham Football Club. They got relegated. Maybe he's not a good, like, sports owner guy. Does he own any other sports teams, Sean?
I don't think so.
No, just he only has two professional sports teams.
I think he owns a stadium. And
you're not allowed to own multiple professional sports teams in America.
No, I know, but I mean other sports franchises. I think he owns. Does he own Wembley Stadium? Either way, the point is, like, his sports franchise.
Tried to buy it, they wouldn't let him.
Okay, they're not doing well, and it's weird. Like when, and sort of the Dan Snyder thing, you do well in business, and then you come to sports. Jerry Jones, to an extent, after he got rid of Jimmy Johnson, doesn't always translate.
Okay, Colts, Panthers. I hope you didn't watch much of this either, because this.
I watched two of the Will Grith or two interceptions. I saw the two lowlights of those.
Yeah, Chuck it.
I didn't watch this game.
I don't know that he's that much worse than Kyle Allen. I
mean, well, he's only played one game. He hasn't played all year. We just talked about Drew Locke not playing at all and being a pleasant surprise. It's not unusual that a guy who has been taking scout team snaps for 15 weeks.
I think the question that will be asked. By the way, the Panthers gave up two return touchdowns to Nyheim Hines. Not good.
Yeah, you should be happy about that.
Yeah, former CC guy. Garner, North Carolina guy, too. I just think I do a local radio spot in Raleigh on Mondays, and I think on today the question is going to be, why do we wait until week 16 to see Will Greer? Like, why not try him out in week 13 when the season's toast and just see what he's got and give him the Drew Locke treatment? And I think it's a fair question. I mean, I know for a fact that the coaching staff believed in Kyle Allen. They thought they could get something to work, but I mean, clearly it didn't work out. And I mean, Greer, but the other point would be like, yes, like he's going against a Colts defense that doesn't do a whole lot in terms of exotic looks, and he couldn't do much of anything. It's just, you're not going to be good in that position, I don't think, with that offense.
What do you mean?
Like,
hit Christian McCaffrey. I know DJ Moore was hurt. He had a concussion, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Greg Olsen, Jarius Wright, Curtis Samuel, Chris Hogan.
Did you see Jarius Wright and Chris Hogan?
I'm just reading down the names of potential receivers.
One played lacrosse, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the offensive line isn't very good, and Will Greer's a rookie quarterback.
Like, and that's what I was going to say, Brinson. In this game, at least, like, what do you think Kyle Allen would have done here? Greer got sacked 5 times. The offensive line was trash. Allen probably would have thrown as many picks. I don't think he would have been much better.
Look, I've been watching. So, like, I have my setup with my 3 TVs, and the TV with the Panthers, because the HD antenna is always on my left. And I'll flick back and forth and watch the Panthers. The last few weeks, I didn't notice anything discernibly different. I will say that I thought that the ball comes off of Greer's, like, he's got a little more spin, a little more velocity. He can throw the ball better than Kyle Allen can, especially deep. But he's obviously more willing to take chances. And I think that's sort of where they were. They believed that they could win with defense and running the ball and a guy who didn't turn it over. And they didn't think Greer could be that guy. And it just,
No, that's fair. I mean, Kyle Allen didn't turn the ball over early on, and then he just went crazy. He took some interception pills or something.
Yeah.
But I do think it's fair to ask, when it was clear that this season was over, which I think was a few weeks ago, why not put Will Greer out there just to see what happens?
Sure. By the way, Christian McCaffrey needs 67 receiving yards to join Marshall Faulk, 99, Roger Craig, 85 on the 1,000 list. I will guarantee you that they get him 67 receiving yards next week to get him on there.
Oh, she gave a shout out to Nyheim Hines, who had 2 punt return touchdowns. And fun fact, first time that a player in a game has had 2 punt return touchdowns, it's 2012. So it's been 7 years since any NFL player has done that. Darius Renard for the Titans. And it was in week 17, and he's playing in Jacksonville.
Sean's not sure if he believes you.
Does it sound made up?
Well, I was just like, I honestly assumed it might have been like Devin Hester or something. So you said a guy whose name started with a D, so I thought it was going to be that, but...
Another
disappointing injury.
And those were the only 2 punt return touchdowns of his career. And one other thing that we talked about a little bit earlier is that the Colts have an interesting – they can play an interesting role even though they're eliminated, is that if they win next week, that's the only way the Raiders can get the playoffs. And the one thing I forgot to mention is that if the Steelers and Titans both lose and finish 8-8, the Steelers can get to the playoffs if the Colts win. So if the Colts, Titans, and Steelers finish all 8-8, the Steelers get in. But if only the Titans and Steelers finish 8-8, then the Titans get in.
What happens if the Steelers and Titans tie?
Ryan, I don't do ties. That's over my pay grade.
Steelers.
Wait, tie like 8-7 and 1.
Did you just ask, what if the Steelers and Titans tie? They don't play each other.
No, they both tie their games.
I figured it out, Ryan. I was able to use deductive reasoning to get to there.
I got you there, Wilson. They're not playing each other, you dummy.
I think it would be the same thing as if they both finished 8-8.
Right, that's the exact same thing if they both lost, you dummy.
I love how, like, he makes a mistake and then he just piggybacks on what someone else says.
you're like, what if they finish with the same record? You're like, well, what if they tie?
They both have the same record.
If they both win, they both lose. They're different possible scenarios, numbnuts. I can't hear you. What?
That's true.
Ryan? Can't hear you. Thank you. Nothing.
I'm hostile. Do you think that – what time do you think Sean is going to go to bed tonight?
He's not. He says he's got to watch all those little weird shows. And
got to watch Mr. Robot.
Imagine thinking you have to stay up and watch Mr. Robot. By the way, the Titans would get in if they both tie. Imagine thinking you have to stay up for 2 hours right now to watch Mr. Robot instead of just watching at your parents' house tomorrow.
I don't want to have that whole drive thinking about what happened. This is the series finale. This is like my top 5 show of all time. Why would I skip the series finale? If Game of Thrones.
Get on the iPad while you drive. Just listen to it.
Yeah, this is like when Brinson was telling me that our entire fantasy league baseball at CBS was telling me the draft while I drove to Vegas in spring on my phone. Adam Azer was like, it's actually really easy if you pull up the app.
And it's like, Adam, you live in New York and you're married with a child. Are you driving around drafting on like your phone, you maniac?
You ended up drafting for me. I would like, because I told you who I wanted.
I do draft and drive, though.
I don't. That sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But you just got to like get one arm up against the steering wheel and then like press.
Oh, God, this is terrible. That's a felony in Tennessee.
Yeah, it's probably legal in North Carolina, too.
I think so.
Catch first, though.
Is that all the games?
That's it. Podcast was an hour and 45 minutes.
What? So Okay. People don't know when we recorded this. We were hoping to finish at 12:45. It is 1:23. Classic Pick Six faction.
Yep.
We'll have to cut down on the Bengals talk next week. Sorry, guys. No more 12-minute rants from Breach about Andy Dalton playing great and then losing.
We're going to get through the Bengals in 15 seconds and Breach should flip.
He
was literally reading like the game cast, I swear.
He's like, so then Andy Dalton scrambled out of bounds, left in for 2 yards.
Zach Taylor called the timeout.
And then my third leg of my chair broke at that point. Just think about how annoyed you're going to be with me in April when all we're talking about is the Bengals because they have the number one overall pick. And we're really having our draft podcast.
You looked up and it was just like all three of us are just on our phones. Let's get out of here. Great show as always. We'll be back tonight for a Monday night recap. And make sure to check your feed for the JLC, Jonathan Jones. JLC and Dubin podcast. Talk to you guys later.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.